How amazing is it that God created our bodies to work in such a way that the more you learn about it, the more powerful of a miracle our bodies really are. So I want you to take your hand, left or right, and I want you to place it over your heart. I want you to be real quiet as you do this. And you've got your hand over your heart, and probably one of the first things you're noticing is your heart's working right now. If not, that's not good. But I just want you to get in touch with this amazing heart. Now that you can feel it, I want you to thank the Lord for it. It has been working and working and working from the very first moment of life in your mom's womb. It's been beating. When God created us, when He created the first man, He took dust. I guess the word man literally means dirt. So don't get too impressed or confident about who you are. But after He formed man, there was no life in him. And then He took His nostrils and He put it on the nostrils of man and He breathed life into him. That life is still happening. Every time there's a baby born, that's part of the original breath that He put in Adam. And so today you were wonderfully made. So when you're feeling this heart beating, it's a big pump. It's a muscle that is pumping literally. I love this. It is pumping 5 gallons of blood through a system of blood vessels that reach out over 60,000 miles long. It beats about 100,000 times each day. The cool thing about your heart is it works even when you forget that it's there, even in the behind the scenes when you're sleeping, when you're running to work and you're late and you're driving on the California freeways. It tends to work a little harder, but it gets you there. And so you can take your hand off, and I think it would be good to say, Lord, I am wonderfully made. I am wonderfully made. I hope this works. I believe in technology, and I'm really hoping it all comes together right now. Speaking of hearts, and especially little hearts, there is something that occurred in our family on this recording goes back to May 10th of this year. And it's these two individuals that are married, and they're a beautiful couple. One is extremely beautiful, and she takes after her mom, and they live in South Africa, and they're missionaries. And this is an actual video / audio of the first time they saw on the screen and heard the little heartbeat of their new baby that's on their way that is going to be our first grandson, November 1. So we're pretty stoked about this. And so I want you to hear what they heard on May 10th. Is that okay? Let's see if this works.
So the heart's functioning like totally as it will out of the womb, right?
Huh? That's our little heartbeat. Olson Shepherd Shiwi. So if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans 6:6 as we begin to look at this topic of heart of the matter. It says this, "For we know that our old self, our old nature, was crucified with Him so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." Is that a powerful verse? Can you... Well, the Bible tells us that when we talk about the heart, we're not talking about a physical heart, the one that you just held on to. We're really talking about the core or the center. It's who you are. It's how you express yourself. It's how you make decisions. It's how you behave. It's who you are. It shows up because of everything that you are inside. It's going to come out through your speech and your behavior and your thoughts. That kind of heart that the Lord talks about is really the seat of all actions that are in our life. It's a very important thing to know. And from it, we will find our feelings, our desires, passions, thoughts, understanding, and even our will. It is the very core, once again, of who we are. But you've also heard the Lord say, but he says it this way, that the heart is one deceitful thing above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's Jeremiah 17:9. Proverbs 23 says, we also know that it's going to give us some insight about the heart, because it says this, for as we think, or as he thinks in his heart, so he is. We need to focus on this. We need to hear today some information that the Bible tells us of how to not only guard our hearts, not only live from our hearts, but what's in the heart, because it's going to come out. As a believer, you actually have two hearts, two core things going on there. The problem is that heart's defective. It used to be really good until Adam and Eve dove into sin, and it's spoiled, polluted, damaged. Today, we're not operating out of that heart as a believer. We're operating out of a new heart that he's given us. Can you say amen to that? Boy, I'm so sick and tired of my old nature, my old life. And I know it comes up. It's still alive, but it's only alive as much as I feed it. If I had a chair, I would set it right here. And you want to know who is seated on that chair. If it's us, that we're kind of the king or queen of our own life, we're in trouble. But if you've allowed him to sit there in the chair of your heart, you're going to be blessed. You're going to be amazed of what he's doing in and through your life. So as we look at this, you're going to see, even in Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when your search for me, when you begin to search for me with your whole heart. So it's important for us to start this journey with knowing, Lord, all that I am, every part of me, I want to seek after you. That, unfortunately, is not going to happen in our old nature. Our old nature is bent on interrupting all that's good in our lives. Proverbs 4:23 says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do will flow from it. So when you're at work and you're listening to conversations throughout the day, you're actually hearing not the person, but what's in them. So when you start hearing people talk, it's actually going to reveal what is really in their hearts. And when people listen to you and I, they also hear what's in our heart. That one will wake you up. That scripture says to guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Another way of thinking about this verse is to say it this way. We need to guard ourselves from our own hearts because everything flows from it. It's a better way to look at that, isn't it? We need to be careful what's in our heart and not be moving in life based on where our heart is. We need something more than what's in our hearts. We need the Lord in our heart. That's why it's good to say, Lord, test me, reveal to me, examine me, my heart and my mind. When I was, I was raised in the church, growing up in the church. I remember there's this situation during my junior high years. I used to, every time there was an altar call, every time someone said, if you need the Lord, we want you to come up and we're going to pray for you. I accepted the Lord at 5 years old, which was rather young, but I knew what was going on. Isn't that amazing that the Lord can make himself real to a small child as he can an adult? And the same opportunity is given to someone so young, they're not even in school, to someone that has been alive for a long time. He invites you to come so he can join you and partner in with you. But I remember every time there was an altar call, I got up and I went to the altar. I was probably really good for the stats for all the evangelists running through. They knew that they would at least get me. But I recognized something one day in about junior high that all of a sudden it hit me. I don't have to go up there. I don't have to get saved every week. I don't have to ask him to come back. I'm so sorry. Come back in my heart. Stay. Because he's already there. And it blew my mind in seventh grade. I think the Holy Spirit was tired of watching me go to the altar every week. And he said, hey, I could save some time. And he just really revealed to me, no, it's not a matter of him not being there. He's already there. You just need to grow in him. And this light bulb went off. It's like, Lord, thanks. I get it. And so in junior high, it just started this journey with him, and it's really never been the same. He was always there, but the reason why I felt like he wasn't is because I was still tapping into my old heart instead of the new one that he gave me, that he wanted me to grow in. And so that might be your experience too. Maybe you just realized, it's not about salvation, it's about being transformed. I already know him. I just need to grow in all that he has for me. And to do that, you have to go from the old heart that's available to the new heart that he's given you in the Spirit. In Mark 7, 21 through 23, it says, for it is from within us, in a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, envy, slander, arrogance, and foolishness. All these evils come from within, and they are defiling a man. Another word for defile is you're unclean, you're impure, you're corrupt. That all comes from the heart. But get this, the Lord is okay with what's in your heart because he's already fixed it. He's already established another step, so we're no longer slaves to our old nature. We can still operate in it, but he's already given us the fix, the update, the new version, and that is the new heart he's given us to walk in. And it's going to show up. It's going to go wherever you go. You're going to have old feelings. Or you see a rerun on TV and you go, wow, why am I thinking about? And it's because it's all in here. It's all programmed. And the Lord says, you no longer have to be a slave to that. You don't have to give in to that. You don't have to operate from that because that's the old. He wants you to put on the new, which is the new heart, where you're going to see the difference and you get to live from that instead of living always from the old. The other thing I realized when I was studying is that we blame God many times for the things that are in here. So, Lord, why did you make me this way? Why do I always deal with this? Why is this a real issue for me? And he's going, well, really it isn't, because you don't have to live there anymore. You need to switch over. Yes, you still have it in you. Just be careful not to feed it because it will become very much alive again. I love the paraphrase. I think it was J.B. Phillips that said, you should have the same amount of confidence in your old nature as a dead person. And then it goes on to say, why are you continually burying it and then lifting it up again and carrying it around? Wow, isn't that a visual? And so we have that tendency to go back to where we used to be, and we can kind of not only relive it, but we can live from it if we are not careful. But the Lord is already way ahead of us, because he's leading and guiding us to a place where we're no longer trapped, we're no longer a slave to it, and he's given us another option. But when you say, Lord, why did you tempt me the way that you do? James covers that in first chapter of James, verses 13 through 17. In fact, let's just read it. In James 1, 13 through 17, it says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and are enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadow. So where is all this coming from? Yeah, in our hearts, in our core of our old nature. Now you need to know that the enemy cannot push you out of, disengage you from all that God is doing in you. He has no access. It's covered by the blood. That's an awesome thing to know. And the only power that the enemy has is what we give him, mainly in our minds, because he's a defeated foe. But what the enemy does is he plays back to the old nature, trying to entice like a bait to a fish, trying to hook you, get you back, not out of the kingdom, not out of the spirit, not out of the body of Christ, but to go back to your old ways. Lift up the thing that's supposed to be dead. And that's where old thoughts come back. And yeah, you can go back to your old addictions. You can go back to your old habits. You can go back to the same attitude that kept you from keeping peace in your home and at work. You can go back there because it's still in there. Do not consider it a friend to hang out with, but it's there. And we're going to deal with that until we leave this body. And when I am absent from this body one day, I'm going to be in his presence. And no longer do I have to deal with this world or the things of the world or the things that have been in my old life, my old nature. It's already done with and dealt with, except we're still dealing with it because we're still in this body. I was talking to Brian outside, and I was at the air show a few years back with my son, and the MC was talking about this really fast jet that's so fast that when it flies by you, you have no idea. And it can fly really low to the ground, and you don't even know it's there. There's no noise. Except a few seconds later, you hear this thunderous noise because the sound caught up with the flight. And we heard it, and it seemed like 15 seconds later. And I think that is many times what God does in our lives. He's already done the work. He's already finished everything that we need to have in him, but we just haven't caught up with it yet. We're already people that walk around with all that the Lord has because all that Jesus has is in us. And so we get to walk around with him and take Jesus to our family and the needs of our family. We get to take him to work. We get to take him out on the streets of Oceanside and Encinitas. And we get to bring him wherever we go because the work he's done is on the cross, he took care of all of the barriers that kept us from him so that we could experience all of him in us. Wow, can you say amen to that? That is such a tremendous place to stop and pause and say, thank you, Lord. I already have everything I need to face, encounter anything this world has to give, even death itself. I'm a conqueror. I'm a victor. I'm an overcomer. Not because of me and trying in my old nature to be good enough for his approval, or to try to mask what's going on in my heart, my old nature, to try to pretend it's no longer there. No, none of that. I am free, no longer a slave to that or its appetites, as I move into the new heart that he's given me, the new nature, which we're actually going to talk about a little bit more next week. And so a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And of the evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. That's Luke 6:45. Well, there is a battle that kind of goes on, I have to be honest. And the battle rages every day. And so your opportunity and ability to grow in Christ gives you all that you need to grow from your new nature. That's where all the good stuff is. You know, maybe some of you have had a word for you in the past, and you're always wondering, when is that going to come through? That was such a magnificent word, but I don't see it in my life yet. How come God hasn't answered it? Could be one of a few things. The first thing, it could be that we're not pursuing it. If God truly said that, he's going to guide and direct you, and he's going to bring it to pass. Sometimes it's the timing. Remember, Abraham was promised not only a son, but a nation, and yet there was a problem. They couldn't bear any kids. So why does the word say that he was a man of faith and of many nations? Because what was promised came through, but it didn't come until it was physically impossible to bear kids on their own. When they were unable, then it was a miracle, and all saw that, wow, that's not them. That must be God in them. Truly, that word was true because it just came through. And he was way, way late in his life. So sometimes when God gives a word, he waits for us, and sometimes we have to pursue it, and he'll guide and direct it, and he will in its time. He'll never be late. Sometimes we find ourselves asking God to help us repair our old nature. That's one prayer that's never going to get answered. One prayer that absolutely you're just going to get silence with. Lord, help me with. And he goes, I already did. I know, but Lord, I'm really struggling with this. When I watch this, or when I say this, or I should have said this, and all these things. And he's going, well, I already answered it. Has everything to do with what I've given. You are a new creation. Yes, you have an old nature in you. Learn to not just avoid it, but learn to grow in the new nature that will counteract the old. So it's literally this. If you have an anger problem that shows up, number one, don't feed it anymore. You need to forgive. You need to apply God's grace. But also replace it with something else. It's one of the beauties. If I'm dealing with this anger, I need to forgive, let go. Just as he has forgiven me, I also need to forgive them. And it takes care of the offense. And then the byproduct is gone, which is anger, resentment, harboring feelings. And now replace it with unconditional love. When you take what it is, deal with it, and then replace it with a different thing, that different thing is going to live there. You see how that works? So maybe you've gone through step one and two, but you need the third step. Instead of hating this person, I've just dealt with it. Lord, thank you. I have a washed out heart. It's clean. Now let me replace it with, I have a love for him. And now I'm going to love others instead of hate. I don't want division. I want unity. Have you seen people that have been completely transformed? Isn't it amazing? How many in this room has been transformed? Three people. Great. So I want to make sure this is the right place. Okay. Let me tell you, if we had a few minutes to take the mic around, I think we would all be so amazed. Are you kidding? That kind of feel comes to it. You know, it's like, you were that? You did what? That was your life for 20 years? Are you kidding me? You don't even know. There's not even residue of it. But now, when you think about it, it's a good thing because it reminds you of where you were and now where you are, and I don't live there anymore. That, to me, is being transformed. That's what God has for you and I. Can you give him a hand? I'm going to see if I can land the plane a little bit. Looking for a runway. Here we go. Some of you, you don't need to come to the altar to ask Jesus to come into your life because you've already done that. I don't care how long ago. Maybe you were not as committed. Maybe you didn't understand, but he did. The Word of God says, even when you are not committed, I will stay faithfully committed to you. That's part of his DNA. I don't care what you've said to him or how much you have tried to leave him or embarrass him, not live for him. He has not moved an inch. And the beauty of that is because he's not moved an inch, today it just takes one inch to get back where you need to be. Just one inch. James says, stop and take just one step towards him. And he will take that one step to meet you. So some of you just need to move an inch. Some of you need to take that full step forward and say, I just know about him. I don't really know him. I've been living out of my old nature. I'm actually a slave to it. I have no control. And it worries me of where I'm going to end up if I lose the wheels on this. Well, I'm so glad you're here. Because it just takes a moment from your heart to send a prayer to his big heart to say, Lord, I surrender. I surrender. And some of you can do that right now because you're ready. He is so near. In fact, if I know the Lord, he knew of this day. And he knew of this moment. And somehow you're here, hearing some guy talking about hearts. And somehow the message is doing something because the Holy Spirit is the teacher. He takes the Word of God and he helps you understand it. If you want to know the job of the Holy Spirit, and he does it well, is to draw you to Jesus. His only job is to say, Jesus is with you at work. He knows what's going on in your family. And he's inviting you, bringing you to connect to the Father's heart. The battle has been won. I was fascinated a few years back when I heard this true life story of a man involved in World War II. He was an Imperial Japanese Army intelligence officer, and he was in the jungles of the Philippines fighting. And the war actually ended in 1945, but he didn't get word. So he continued to battle. He continued to hide in the jungles. And after a few years, they were looking for people, making sure they knew. And there were some great campaigns where leaflets would drop from planes saying, "The war is over, come back home." But he thought that that was a trick. He thought that was from the enemy's camp. And so he ignored it, said, "I will not. I'm going to fight." Well, here he is, Huru. Guess what? He fought after the war for another 29 years. It wasn't until 1974 someone contacted him and told him, "It's true, the war ended 29 years ago." He finally believed someone. When he went back to Japan, he was a national hero for his bravery and his tenacity. And he died at 91 years old in 2014. But the tragedy of his amazing story is some of us can identify with continuing to fight this battle that's not even ours, with a battle that has already been won because of the cross. Could you identify with that last story about Huru? Have you been fighting and fighting and fighting a war that has already been won, already ended, and today you want to surrender and come home? If that's you, before you leave this building, I'm going to ask you to personally surrender and walk up to Jesus and say, "Thank you for winning the war. I hand in my weapons. Take this uniform. I surrender. No longer do I want to be a slave to all the stuff that keeps me in bondage. Things that are outside of what I can control, those things now control me." That's you today. Come home. Surrender.